Hey, it's time to talk about theft, wrestling, and our future of Universal Orlando, and more. From the Bob Varley Studio, this is the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. This is episode 22 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Universal vacation, whether you need round-trip transportation and tickets from Disney or a vacation package. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Well, welcome to yet another episode of the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. I am your host, Craig Williams, along with Jenny Lynn K-N-O-P-P and Rhino, Clavin, all of them. And of course, back on the controls is our producer, Dustin West.
Hey, I'm here.
The easiest one to say. So I think I've decided too that from now on, I'm just going to make up last names.
Our tradition is for you to butcher our names.
Because even if I write it out phonetically, I'm still never going to be able to say it right. Okay. That's my curse.
Gotcha.
Being terrible at words. But we're back with another episode, of course. And later on, we are going to be talking about our hopeful future for what may happen at Universal someday down the road. Not even speculation, I'd say.
Wish list.
It's our wish list of stuff that we would like to see maybe in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018.
Another life,
another alternate universe somewhere in the world.
Alternate Universal Studios.
Of course. And we're going to get to that in a little bit, of course. But before we get there, we have to go through the buzz. But before we can go through the buzz, we've got to go through some housekeeping. So, of course, we have our YouTube channel, youtube.com/WDWinfo. We post sorts of fun shows on there, like the Diz Unplugged Orlando edition.
Mm, yeah.
Jenny Lynn's little show called The Trip.
The Trip.
It's a big show.
And of course, the Orlando edition airs on Tuesdays live at 1 o'clock. The Trip is on Wednesdays live at 1 o'clock. We're on live stream on Thursdays at 1 o'clock. So
that's
we're keeping
right
you guys busy.
Yeah, but you can watch all those on our YouTube channel. Once again, youtube.com/WDWinfo. And while you're on there, you might as well comment, like our videos, share them around, really spread it if you like it. If you don't, whatever. There's also Universal videos up there, Disney World videos, all that good stuff. And of course, review us on iTunes. That's where you can download the audio edition of all our shows on different feeds, of course. So you'll have to subscribe to separate ones, but go out and do that, please. Don't forget about the Universal site, universal.com/WD. Wow, I am just really butchering this. Universal.wdwinfo.com.
There we go.
That's where you'll actually find stuff about Universal. Lots of good articles going up all the time. One literally just went up about suites in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Nice.
So if you're watching live, check it out after the show. Don't leave us right now in the middle of it. Go there after.
Day.
And of course, we have all our social media channels. You can find links to all that. Also on our show notes, DizUnplug.com. And look for the blue Universal logo and you'll find our show notes there. So check out all of that good stuff. Once again, DizUnplugged.com. It's very important, I think, at least. Other little bits of housekeeping coming up this weekend. Harry Potter Celebration, or as they call it, Jackson's, a celebration of Harry Potter 2015. So that starts tomorrow, Friday, the 30th of January.
Still in January.
I pulled it out there at the last second, and it lasts until Sunday.
February 2nd, right?
The first.
First.
The first, yes.
31 days. There's 31 days in January.
Yes.
I would have just said the poem, worst. But every time I'm like, 30 days has September, April, May, June, December.
I don't think you said that poem. You didn't do that poem right.
No.
you clearly butchered that.
The worst thing I ever learned in school was that poem.
But yeah, so that's happening over the next 3 days after today. And Jenny Lynn and I will be there.
We will be there.
Along with the person behind everything.
I'm gearing up for it. Watching those movies. Started on my resolution, guys.
Well, I was going to say Pete's also going to be there with us, too.
Yeah, but I'm the one who's gearing up for it. Okay, you stole my thunder.
You're gearing up for it because you still don't know anything about Harry Potter.
No,
you're
now I know two movies worth about Harry Potter.
That's good. I was congratulating you earlier on how much you've gotten through.
I need more affirmation.
That's 5 hours of Harry Potter in one night that you watched.
It was.
Those first two, I think, they are what they are. But I think for somebody, when you know all eight movies now, you know that it's the...
I've got the foundation.
We've got to pull you through. Yeah, you got to pull you through.
I got the foundation. Today, we're going to build on it some more.
It's going to change with three because that is... That's kind of where it really, really, really gets
takes
good.
Like the creative leap.
The Alfonso Cuarón one, who also directed Children of Men and my favorite movie of the last year or so, Gravity.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, I've got a full day ahead of me still after this.
Oh, yeah. You've got a lot to catch up on, but we'll be tweeting on that. So be paying attention to Diz Universe at Diz Universal on Twitter. On our facebook.com/thedizuniversal. And then make sure you're watching out on Diz Unplugged on Facebook and Twitter as well. And the Diz will be tweeting, retweeting, back tweeting, side tweeting.
Back tweeting.
We'll be tweeting everywhere.
I think Miley Cyrus did that one time.
Yeah. No, it's whatever you can do on forms of social media, we'll do it.
I hope you guys are going to bring me a souvenir.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess that's a very subtle hint.
Hadn't even crossed your mind yet.
We'll bring a map.
Okay.
So pay attention to us over the weekend and catch up on all that. Of course, we'll have videos, photos, tons of stuff going up from it. It's going to be an awesome time. I'm really looking forward to it. I know Pete is. He's beaming with excitement about it. You'll get there once you know the movies better, and we're gonna have a good time. So I hope you all enjoy our coverage from that. Also, breaking news as of this morning, at least for me, I found. Thank you, Mr. Newscaster in the back there. The Mardi Gras lineup has been finalized.
Oh,
with the final
TBD's not coming.
They got canceled.
TBD got canceled on two separate dates, and now the first one on March 13th, MKTO.
Yeah, they play them on the radio.
I was going to say, I think there's a song on the radio right now by them. They're one of those groups where I hear a song and I kind of like it, but I'm like, who sings this? And then I'm like,
I looked them up this morning, and I guess their big hit is American Dream or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I know the group they were talking about.
It wasn't my type of music. Appealing music.
It's a British boy band thing. I don't even think they are British, but.
Well, you know, I know they're definitely considered a boy band because. All the comments were saying, why can't bands like One Direction be more like them? So I guess they're in that same
I think One Direction's doing pretty good for themselves.
That's for the judges and the juries to decide out there. It's not for me to decide. But the better of those two announcements, I think, Phillip Phillips is coming back again for Mardi Gras on March 28th. So... Maybe I saw him at the summer concert series, not Mardi Gras.
I'm pretty sure he played at Universal before.
He absolutely has. I went to see him there. I've seen him live in an actual as a opener for another concert too. He's a really he's a good performer. He gets a little weird at times.
Thank goodness for American Idol of finally putting out a winner that had like some actual musical talent.
Oh yeah,
this is. Kelly Clarkson aside.
I was like, do not.
The thing,
other than Kelly,
he's got raw talent, and if anything, he's better live than on albums.
That's good. I like when that happens.
His album voice, I mean, it's good, but once you hear him live, he sounds like he's a Dave Matthews Band cover act.
This is my album voice.
Wow. I'm going to have to work on mine later today.
Yeah, we'll all get our album voices ready to go later on. But
okay.
No, they finally finalized the list. The whole list is up on all of the websites and all that jazz where it needs to be. You can find that universal.com. Oh, my gosh. I am never going to get this right.
Universal.wdwinfo.com.
You go there. You'll be able to see the full list if you missed out on our other episode where we talked about it. And I believe, Rhino, you have a bit of housekeeping about attractions.
Yes, I was in the park on Tuesday, and I noticed they had put up walls around Ripsaw Falls for its seasonal refurbishment. It was operating when I was there on Friday, so I was surprised how quickly they had gotten up walls and drained the entire thing. So that's down for a while, and Bluto's is up, apparently, in exchange, the flip-flop for the water ride there.
Yeah, they kind of, they go back and forth. So one will go down, and then once the other one is finished with all its little refurbs, then the other one will go down, and the one comes back up. And so there's always ways to get wet at Universal. Bluto's
is just like, I was surprised because there was a lot of people on it, and I was Tuesday was like, I don't know, 60 degrees here. And yeah, so it was just like watching people come out like freezing out of that thing.
Yeah, I'll never be able to understand why people do water attractions.
Oh, water attractions are tons of fun, just not in cold weather.
Well, that's what I mean, during this type of temperature. And it's not even just all water attractions. Like, Bluto's and Ripsaw and Jurassic Park.
Those are drenchy.
Guaranteed to get soaked. Like, going over to Splash Mountain at Disney World, you can sit in the back and, you know, you might have a couple drops on you, but
yeah. No, those rides at Universal, you are going to get soaked.
Attractions like Splash Mountain or Bluto's or anything like that, I'd prefer it if they could give me an option to like get out just before the, you know, big fall Splash Point or Jurassic Park or anything like that. I want to see the theming. I want to see the Brontosaurus. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But then I'd like to take an elevator down to the exit and not get wet.
I like to keep my underpants dry today.
They should all be like, it should be a queue to walk through and you see everything. And then it's just a giant water slide at the end and people throw themselves down flumes. Yeah.
And then afterwards you pay $5 to stand in that machine that makes you feel like you're in a tornado to dry off.
Yeah, but I mean, people use those.
Yeah, that's what I noticed there was a line for when I was there too. And what's interesting too is those rides, of all the rides that Universal provides lockers for, those rides are three of the rides that you have to pay for your locker.
Yeah, the reason for that is because all the water rides, you can technically take bags on them. It's not mandatory to put your bags in a locker to do it, so that's why you have to pay. For Forbidden Journey, Dragon Challenge, there's nowhere to put your bags, so that's why they offer you that free locker to put them in.
It's nice.
Yeah. So I'm glad that I could help clear up a couple things through that. But any other things in housekeeping?
Craig explains it all.
Yep. Thank you. The music came in. Clarissa Explains It All was filmed at Universal Studios Florida. So I think that's going to do it for our housekeeping. And with that, we will hit it on up to the buzz. What's buzzing this week? And
big news this week.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're making it.
Come on, I'm trying to get us all hyped up.
It's drama.
It is drama, definitely.
There's a lot of drama. The first on the buzz is shoplifters were arrested at Universal Orlando after assaulting officers.
It definitely got exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for them.
What? The shoplifters or the guards?
I don't think anybody came out of this good.
Well, we'll decide it after I go through this story. A man and a woman were accused of shoplifting at Universal Studios. They were arrested after starting a fight with police officers. I'm going to butcher these names. They are not of America, I believe. But Daniel Rodriguez Salazar, age 25, was accused of hiding a stuffed E.T. doll under his jacket in an Islands of Adventure store.
He wanted to take E.T. home.
Exactly. I mean, everyone wants to get E.T. back home. And for those of you watching the video version and you're wondering why E.T. was down there, it's because he tried to steal an E.T. doll. He was stopped by a loss prevention manager, who are the guys walking around in street clothes that carrying Universal bags, acting like they're just tourists. But they're not. I mean, they stick out like a sore thumb. Same at Disney. They stick out like a sore thumb when you see the undercover.
They are like, they come out like really far and they're big. And I'm like, all right. Like, doesn't look like an iPhone thing.
Yeah. Well, he was stopped by the manager and he actually handed up the toy. He handed it back to him, but then he wouldn't go with the actual officer to the security office. And so him and Julia Delgado, age 60. Well, I wanted to say Julia, but I didn't know. And they started cursing at the officer and other backup security that showed up.
They were down by the schoolyard.
Down by the schoolyard, cursing at the officers. Salazar, not to be confused with Salazar Slytherin.
That's what I was thinking of. Like,
pushed the officer.
Leave it to a Slytherin to do this.
And Then he also attempted to hit the officer while other officers were trying to stop him. It got bad.
This must have been a really big scene.
Oh, he stuck his thumb into one of the officer's eyes.
Well. This is where it gets like a little scary.
It's very creepy, Game of Thrones, isn't it?
This is when it gets good because then OPD shows up. And if you've ever seen OPD actually come to a theme park, that means actual business. They will tackle people right on the ground in front of you. And it's pretty awesome.
Taser stuff.
And oh, yeah.
It gets real.
It's good. It's really good. So they showed up, arrested Zalazar, and then Delgado decided that he'd start, she'd start physically attacking two other officers, cursing. And so Zalazar ended up with aggravated battery, resisting arrest, and theft, while Delgado got off with 3 counts of battery.
He gave up the doll, which is good, and I'm sure that they were basically taking him to kick him out of the park. I mean, I don't know if they were doing the Disney route where they were going to be like, oh, don't do that, like, or escalated so quickly. Like, you could have just gone with these people, and the worst that would have happened, and now you're arrested and being charged with.
The one was going to get arrested for theft, regardless. Yeah. That was inevitable. Whether or not the battery and all that stuff would have started piling on, that's a different story. But it's just so dumb. It happened all because of an E.T. doll.
Right.
The only place I can think that they have the E.T. dolls off the top of my head in Islands of Adventure is right at the gift store as you leave. I can't think of the name off the top of my head. But
on the right side?
Yeah, they sell all the kind of cheap, discounted stuff that no one wants anymore. I know E.T. dolls always end up in there because they're not a huge seller. E.T. is great, but those dolls are absolutely creepy. So why this guy decided specifically to take this E.T. doll, and then it just avalanched after that. I mean, I don't know the guy. I won't speak for him, but this, what an idiot.
Put it mildly.
Yeah. So I guess the lesson here is
don't shoplift.
Don't steal from Universal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a theme park. I assume there's cameras. I'm just, you know, a paranoid child of 2015 where I'm just like, cameras are always on me right now. There's like 10 in here.
Yeah.
Like, they're always on you. And like, I just assume everybody can do whatever. Like, but I also just want to do the right thing too. So. Yeah. It's just stupid. Of all places, there's like super extra security. It's like trying to steal something at the airport. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. The other lesson would be don't put your thumb in a police officer's eyeball. Yes,
that is. There's lots of lessons to learn from it, but I thought that was kind of an amusing story. Not really newsworthy, but it was fun. People should talk about it more often. But I think, Jenny Lynn, you're going to fill us in on the next thing that's kind of buzzing.
Yeah.
Slightly breaking news, but not anymore, really.
Talking about more roughhousing and drama. Impact Wrestling is returning to Universal for TV and pay-per-view taping. So the rumor is true, folks. We had talked about that before, and now we have confirmation. TNA issued the following statement saying that they're returning to Orlando Universal Studios for a 5-day run of special television events, February 12th through the 16th, and then Impact Wrestling tapings are scheduled for March and April. Superstars and some very special guests will be in Orlando on those days for some action-packed 5-day extravaganza and events filmed at Universal Studios Backlot Stage 20. Cameras will be rolling. And we can give you... Do we want to go through the whole schedule? It's like a whole bunch of schedules.
I think we should just maybe even say like, oh, this that's going to be taping from the 12th to the 16th at various times.
Mostly at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. on those days. It's free. So you should go. It's fun. It's people bring their kids. I have, but that's not something I'm proud of. I'm not recommending that you do the same. It's different. I like to go for the people watching. And, you know, the wrestling's good, too.
I think it's cool that there's, like, you can go. It's a free event. And it's, you know, it's a thing actually being recorded. You'll actually be able to go home. Or maybe you can't go home if it's live. But somebody could DVR it for you and be like, I was there. I was at this thing. And it's
not all of it's live. some of them are taped and then they play it so that you get to see yourself on TV. And it's always fun to be in the audience of a, you know, a thing.
I honestly think I think we should make this a mandatory event for us to go and experience.
Oh, I still want to go with you guys. That would be so much fun.
Here's the thing. I no longer like wrestling. I, of course, watched it whenever I was in late elementary school, maybe early junior high. So gave that up whenever I was around 13. But I mean, I used to be in love with WWF, WWE now. Mm-hmm. And so I could still go and enjoy it. And I'm sure some of the guys that I used to watch are actually going to be on it because, well, they have no other talents besides being on, being in their 50s and 60s and still wrestling for whatever they can. So
I graduated high school with somebody who I believe is currently a,
is it Impact or WWE?
A professional wrestler. Like, oh. I didn't know it. Like, I knew he always wanted to be one, and he's like a super awesome guy. And, his name's Mike Bennett, but I don't know what his like actual like if he has
they
a pseudonym have, or something like
they
that.
They all
but
have pseudonyms.
Yeah, I guess he's like famous. Like, and I was like, oh, it's cool.
Yeah,
like good for him because I remember being in Spanish class and we were talking about what we wanted to do with our life, and he said that, and so I'm curious to see if maybe his name will be on this list at all. So
it could be. You know, it's a fun thing. It's a silly thing, but a fun thing, and we should definitely go.
You know what? The more live stuff they actually shoot at the Universal sound stages, whether it's movies, TV shows like this, La Voz Kids, the Spanish kids version of The Voice. And they're currently doing production on that as well, too. Anything they're shooting there is okay with me because that actually maintains it as a real-life working studio. Yeah. So I doubt that any of the WWE Hall of Fame rumors that always go around that we even discussed too, I doubt that that's ever going to happen as long as this relationship is maintained.
Yeah, probably not.
But at the same time, you know, we don't need a WWE Hall of Fame to come there if the Universal Studios is actually a real studio.
True. So. And these events are usually well-attended. I went to a number of them. Oh, yeah. I kind of lost count. It might have been to like 4 or 5. And, you know, every time I had to wait in a long line, sometimes being afraid that I wasn't even close enough to the front of the line, they would run out of room and I wouldn't be able to get in. It's interesting. It's something everyone should do at least once in their life.
So if you're going to be here from February 12th through the 16th at various times, usually 1 o'clock or 7 o'clock, go to Universal Studios Florida, and Soundstage 20 will be opened up 1 hour before the listed showtime. You can get in and see some free wrestling, and it'll be fun for all.
It'll be total nonstop action, really.
Oh,
you know what?
What
they should actually
there.
They should make that the name.
They should.
Total nonstop action.
Oh, I get what you're doing. I was like, what a weird phrase for you to say right now.
So go out and see it. The next thing on the buzz, the last of the buzz of the bees that they're buzzing, early park admission is going back exclusively to Islands of Adventure. So for those of you who don't know early park admission, what that is, if you're staying on site at any of the 4 Lowe's hotels, pretty soon 5 once Sapphire Falls opens up in a year and a half, once that's open up, then there will be 5, of course. But if you're staying on site at these hotels, you got into the park an hour early to experience primarily the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. So before Diagon Alley was open up, you would get into Hogsmeade every morning, and then they'd usually try to keep one or two other rides open in various areas, either Seuss Landing or the Hulk. And over at the studios, they were doing Despicable Me, and then I believe Rip Ride Rocket, just so you could do something else if you're not interested in going directly to Diagon Alley. But so since Diagon Alley opened up, for a while they were doing both Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley, both open for EPA. And then
interchanging
it went,
or on the same day?
On the same day.
Oh.
And then it went exclusively to Diagon Alley for the longest time. And then as of January 20th, so 9 days ago, I guess, from the day we're recording this, it moved back to Hogsmeade. So this weekend, though, they're actually, for a celebration of Harry Potter, they're doing dual early park entry, so you can get into both of those. But then starting on February 2nd, that would be after the celebration's over, then it's going back to Hogsmeade. So early park entry is actually extremely awesome if you are staying on site. It sucks for all those people who aren't staying on site because You know,
they once the,
that's once where the park starts.
Opens, yeah, yeah, once the park opens up, whenever it's at Hogsmeade, you have a 60-minute wait some days for Forbidden Journey before you even get in. Same goes with Escape from Gringotts over in Diagon Alley. There was days people were walking in because of early park entry. The wait was already up to 90 minutes plus if there was breakdowns or it didn't open up on time. So the fact that Diagon Alley is now going to open up exclusively for all guests at the same time, whether or not you're staying on a hotel, on property, or outside of property, that it's good that it makes it fair game for everyone, but that's, I mean, that's one of the biggest perks of staying on site.
I was going to say, I think that that really stinks for the people that are paying the money to stay in the Universal hotels. I think they are entitled to some perks.
Well, right now, the basic theory behind why this is happening is if you haven't been on Escape from Gringotts in a while, it is not doing so great. It's back to breaking down a lot, and the effects will start working at the beginning of the morning, and then halfway through the day, they're all crapping out. And so then you have to look at it and really argue, is the experience you're getting on it worth that extra hour that they could be working on it in the morning? So that's the running reason right now that I'll finally explain. It's so that way Escape from Gringotts gets an extra hour of maintenance every morning.
That's good.
It's not confirmed. That's just what most people are guessing it's about. But I know you kind of said already that you think it still stinks, but what are your feelings on it, Rhino?
I mean, I think it's a, you know, that's a an attraction that is, I don't know where I'm going, like ahead of its time. Like it's unique. Like, and I was, you know, one of the people who waited for opening day. And I mean, I got in and I only waited like 20 minutes or something like that, 'cause I was there at like two in the morning. But, I understand the pain of like being like, you love Harry Potter, you want to do this thing. And it's just like that, there's so much to experience there, but like, that's the main attraction is the Gringotts. So it's, you know, devoting like 3 hours of your day to waiting in line. I hate that with any ride, any attraction. Yep. So if like opening an hour later is like helps it, you know, running smoothly without having to go down for a refurbishment before its first year, that would be, I mean, I think that's fine. Yep. I think that's great.
Well, the one issue that I kind of have with this is Hogsmeade opens back up, so people still get that early park entry access. But for people who aren't coming for the first time and repeat guests staying on site every single time, is it really enough to just have Forbidden Journey? I mean, I've ridden it thousands of times. I'm sure both of you have. Dustin, you have too.
Yeah.
I mean, just, I want to get your opinion on it. So you book a hotel room not knowing that you can't get into Diagon Alley that extra hour early. As a person who's ridden Forbidden Journey all the time, is it worth it to even get up for just for Forbidden Journey?
For just Forbidden Journey, I don't know that I could say that. If I had an extra hour to go into Diagon Alley, yes. Yeah. But for Hogsmeade and just Forbidden Journey, because I've done it, and this is coming from my perspective, because I have done it so many times, I wouldn't go early into the park for that. I know the lines get long and stuff, and they continuously get long, but I still don't know that I would get up early just for that.
I mean, that attraction's wait time isn't quite what it once was when it first opened, which is great. So it's one of those where you're like, it's just like one, and there's not as much, like they have the one restaurant, they have, you know, the butterbeer and stuff, but the other Diagon Alley has so much more stuff to see and do, just like little stuff.
Maybe they could just open Diagon Alley and leave Gringotts closed while they're still working on it.
I honestly think that's a good
You
know, there's enough to walk around and look at.
Are open.
There's enough to walk around and look at in Diagon Alley and still enjoy yourself without getting on that ride, and then open the ride at the same time for everybody.
At the restaurant.
Yeah, but you know, you have to understand that when theme park operations are deciding these things, they're looking at it from a budget standpoint, and when they add an extra hour to all the people that it takes to open that section early, run the shops, run the restaurants, do all that stuff, not just the attraction, but all the cast members that work there and do that, that 1 hour adds a whole lot to their budget. for the day or for the month or the week or however they're looking at it.
I don't know how many people go in for early morning hours, but if the ride is shut down, everyone who's in Diagon Alley will be doing something that costs them money, such as shopping.
That's true.
And eating.
It could just be like they're trying to drive attendance up in the other park. I mean, like, to not necessarily drive it up, but even it out.
That could be very true, too. I know from my experiences, whenever I get to Islands of Adventure around like noon, that's after everyone had already seen Diagon Alley, and they do this mad rush then over to Islands.
Yeah.
And it's always hectic there, and that's whenever Forbidden Journey is hitting its highest wait times. And, you know, so I guess
it actually could just be, alleviation for the morning rush to keep people, you know, to keep it from doing what you were saying earlier, where everybody just goes and it's already 90 minutes.
And don't get me wrong. If you've never been to Hogsmeade before, it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
It sucks that Diagon Alley is not going to be open that extra hour early for hotel guests. But if you've never been, take advantage of Hogsmeade. Just hopefully they can work something out with everything that, you know, you get your Diagon Alley nice and early. You get Hogsmeade without too many crowds. And everyone can be happy and want to actually stay on site again, because those hotels are so worth it, staying on site. But I think that's actually going to do it for this week's buzz. Nothing else is buzzing, so might as well just
keep moving
along. So still no contest this week for our little mid-show shuffle, I guess is what it's now called, since I came up with
the mid-show shuffle.
The mid-show shuffle.
It's official. It's a dance craze.
No contest. We'll get into that stuff eventually. But something, it was on my radar way, way back. But we had a contributor, actually, for the Universal site write an article about the Give Kids the World and Universal partnership on vacation packages. It was something I was going to mention on the show, I would say 6 months ago or so, but this article came out, so I thought this was the perfect little thing to talk about right
Should
in between the middle.
Should we explain what Give Kids the World is?
Why don't you explain it?
All right. Give Kids the World is this center here down in Orlando where kids who suffer from terminal illnesses or very difficult medical conditions are gifted, in a sense, with wishes. And a lot of them wish to come to the theme parks here in Orlando, whether it be Disney or Universal or SeaWorld, or maybe they want to meet an Impact wrestler, whatever it is. And Give Kids the World helps make those wishes come true. And they pay for the child and the child's entire family to come and stay in their village and pay for them to have these things happen in their life. And the village itself is fantastic, and it's even these kids with these very difficult circumstances, they come and they're in a facility that can accommodate whatever their situation is, whether it's food stuff or if they need medical equipment. It's all there for them.
Yep. And obviously we're big supporters in the Diz family of Give Kids the World. It is one of the best organizations that you could ever donate money to. A really good cause, and all that money goes to actually helping kids out. So can't recommend it highly enough. But onto the actual story with it, Universal partnered with them, like all the theme parks do in the area, but they partnered with them on a vacation package. So if you book 3 nights in the vacation package, you can book 3 nights at one of the hotels on site. So Portofino Bay, Royal Pacific, Hard Rock Hotel, or Cabana Bay. You get the 3 nights there. And then along with that, right now they have the buy 2 days, get a third day free ticket. So you'd get that thrown in as well. You get your early park admission with that as well. But the cool thing about the vacation package is that you also get to go volunteer at Give Kids the World for 4 hours during your trip. And they provide complimentary round trip transportation to and from there. So during your vacation, you know, plan it out for 5 days, whatever, and you get time to go do all the fun stuff at Universal, but then you actually can go over and make a difference at Give Kids the World and volunteer yourself.
And that really can't be overstated. The experience of going to that village is special. It's not something that you're going to forget. I've been there, have volunteered there, and the time that you get with the kids doing something to see their faces light up, they have as much fun at this village as they do in the theme parks, and to be able to be a part of that is something that can't really be recreated anywhere else.
Yeah. I also forgot to mention that just by booking the vacation package, the UN Universal also donates I don't know how
he's
I said that.
He's making up all kinds of new words.
And also new word. Donates $100 directly to Give Kids the World. So not only do you volunteer, but Universal donates part of the proceeds really cool. from that directly to them. So if you're booking a vacation package, you might as well do it that way if you want to volunteer. If you don't want to volunteer, you know, just say they were all sold out or something.
But it's
lie
not, it's
about
not
it.
Even that much to do, like $100. That's basically, think about it, that's like $25 an hour that they're giving. Like, that's a good chunk of change for just a small thing that is, it's just an awesome experience that you have, you know.
Yeah, and this is a rolling offer that happens basically year-round. Universal will have links on their website about it. But right now, with the buy the 2 days, get the third day free, that promotion ends in June. So for the details we have on this round, it's you have to book this package by June 1st and travel must be completed by June 7th. But like I said, that's not the only time you can do this in general. You can still do it throughout the year. Universal has links on how you can do that. But with the deal that we kind of suggested here, with all those details, has to be booked by June 1st and travel completed by June 7th. But if you want more information about this awesome, awesome offer, just go to universal.wdwinfo.com and you'll find a link to the story. And I will also put it in our show notes for this episode at www.disunplug.com. So check it out. So, yeah, I think we should all volunteer too sometime. Yeah.
That would be cool.
TNA, like volunteer. That. You know, just better ourselves. I don't know how the wrestling would help with that.
I was just gonna say, did you just say TNA volunteer? Like,
we should volunteer.
We go in like
TNA.
Los Luchadores costumes for them.
Oh, I'm so down.
Well, that got out of hand real quick. I don't know why I let it go there, but with that being said, let's move on to our spotlight on the universe.
Spotlight on the universe.
That was great, Dustin.
I was going to say cue the theme music, but we just got it there. So make sure we'll just pull that out for the next week's episode and we'll have it. So this spotlight is going to be a little bit fun, a little bit creative. Not that I couldn't come up with anything else to talk about. It's just we've all been so busy, so we didn't have time to get out and do a dining review like we wanted to go through. So I thought
this is a fun topic, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's work our minds in a creative way. And so we are going to talk about the future of Universal Orlando as planned by us. So last time, whenever we did the Buzz show with the Cowfish Dining Review, we also talked about rumors as part of the Buzz. What was coming up, like the King Kong rumor, the Star Trek rumor. And we kind of talked about Star Trek. I said
Star Trek.
Star Trek. more music cues. Wow, we're gonna have a soundtrack pretty soon.
It's practically a Broadway musical at this point.
But we talked about whether or not we actually liked them, excited about them. So I thought let's tip it on our hats. You know, Comcast has all this money that they can dump into Universal whenever they want. So let's become a part of Universal Creative. And let's say what we actually would put into the parks if we had that ultimate wish list of what we wanted to do. So I broke it into three categories because, well, that was just easiest for me with what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
So I made you fall in line and suffer with me. You're welcome. So three categories. First, Universal Studios films. Well, that's what I put, films. But it could have also been TV shows, anything Universal related. But an attraction experience based off of Universal Studios property, and then one non-Universal property bringing in. So, like, you know, Transformers, that belongs to Paramount, but obviously it still came in, probably with a little help from Steven Spielberg.
Well, I feel like of all the stuff they've partnered with, Paramount seems to be the most friendly with all their...
Oh, Paramount's a really good
Paramount's
studio.
Paramount's Nickelodeon, too, right? It's, like, associated with Nickelodeon... Isn't it?
It definitely used to be. I think their partnership might have ended. Okay, don't quote me on that. But and then the third category, Horror Nights, and that was a free for all. If you wanted do a Universal property, if you wanted to take it away from Universal, go to something else, you had that option. But those were the three categories, and I'm gonna start and throw things off with mine because, well, I get to be the boss.
You're sitting in the middle.
This one. I'm sitting in the middle, so I get to decide. And then we'll play random, whoever wants to scream out theirs. But
yeah,
let's start with Universal property that I want to see. So I went kind of skyballing on this one, and I don't even think that's a word.
Skyballing.
We need to start a dictionary just for Craig's vocabulary.
It's a James Bond film.
The skyball. yeah, we'll have the Diz Unplugged Universal Dictionary.
Directed by Mel Brooks.
So, anyway.
Coming in as a Broadway musical to the Dr. Phillips Center in Orlando.
Skyball. I don't want to just settle for an attraction. With what I would do for my Universal property, I want to make a whole freaking land.
You're an aggressive developer.
I am an aggressive developer. Well, Comcast, they have all the money in the world. I think they're now the richest person.
The one
person? The one person.
Comcast, the Comcast Jones. The richest individual in the world.
So, about 2 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to finally watch Box Trolls. It's a Leica stop-motion animated movie from this year. They've also done two more in their production company, Coraline and Paranorman. And they're distributed. They're made by Leica, but distributed through Universal, kind of the same way that Pixar was its own independent company and distributed through Disney until they purchased them. But no, they're all three excellent animated movies, a little bit on the darker edge, so I wouldn't always recommend them for young kids. You've seen any of them. They're a bit darker.
I've
but
seen Coraline. That was a little disturbing.
Paranorman's great.
I haven't seen Paranorman.
It's the ending is like pretty intense. It's intense. It's not like scary or gory or anything. It just is very like.
That's how I felt about Coraline. I remember watching this and going, oh.
I've got to tell you, I mean, I am a huge Nightmare Before Christmas fan,
yes,
and Henry Selick
well.
That directed that also directed Coraline. Tim Burton did not direct Nightmare Before Christmas. And I mean, ever since that, I've been pretty much obsessed with stop motion. If you go back in the day to like Rudolph and stuff, I am so afraid of that kind of stop motion. as much as I am Yukon Cornelius.
I was about to say, isn't that weird? Considering you're a cast member of the film.
I am on the cast of Rudolph, but that kind of stop motion from back then just absolutely scares me. But everything done now is more beautiful and fluid, and I think a whole lot better. But I would do a Leica land. And I mean, first off, it works. And the area of the park I would do this in, Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone, because with the exception of E.T., what's worthwhile there? You have animal actors, Barney, Curious George, Fievel. I mean, so you lose out on all the play
really
area for kids.
Not really anything worth saving in that area.
Yeah, just E.T. However, I would also go crazy, rezone a little bit, move E.T. to Hollywood, because in E.T. the movie, it all takes place in California, so you can kind of tie it in that way.
Way to stretch it out, yeah.
Oh, you can't get rid of E.T.
No, I agree, yeah.
You can't get rid of E.T.
People said that about Jaws.
Well, they did, but I would never get rid of E.T.
I'll be one of the people who like handcuffs himself to the front of the park if they ever try to do that.
Well, we'll have to do live remote shoots from there whenever that happens, because it's going to happen one day. So I think I would do a ride based on each, well, an attraction based on each of the movies. So first, I would do a dark ride, a la E.T. style, on Paranorman. We've seen dark rides based on stop motion films like the Haunted Mansion Holiday with Nightmare Before Christmas. So it can work with having giant animated figures like that. It actually looks more normal than trying to create 2D animated people and put them in a real 3D environment for the first time. So I do a Paranorman dark ride in some sort of fashion. I would do a behind the scenes look at how they make stop motion movies with Coraline, just so that way you maintain that integrity of being an actual studio and seeing how movies are made.
And I think that's something that kids would get into.
I think they would too. And if they still don't, then we'll have a kids play area for Box Trolls, because the environment in the actual movie, if you haven't seen it yet, I can't recommend it highly enough. It's amazing. It would make for a nice little playground. I mean, if Fievel's Playland can exist, I think a Box Trolls playground could exist, and then all the characters could be meet and greet opportunities. They did have the Box Trolls at Universal for a very short time right before the movie came out, but that is absolutely what I would like to see. I would love to see a Leica land.
So I think it'd be cool. I mean, that sounds like a great you know, I feel like the complaint I hear a lot in theme parks is always like, what is there for kids to do here? But I feel like that kind of an area would bridge the gap real well for both kids and adults. And
they not might only be- well, not, 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 what am I saying now? Are you rubbing off on me? Not only that, but it's kind of a good fit for Universal in the sense that, you know, Disney's the happy, happy kid land.
Yeah.
Universal's kind of the little bit off, darker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of fits both edgier. Of those things. Yeah. It is a little edgier. So that works.
I would love it. Rhino, what about you?
For a Universal property, I had a little bit of difficulty with this one because I was originally going to say Ghostbusters, and then I realized that was Columbia, or now it's Sony, I guess. But so I think I went with, like, I would really enjoy, and we talked about this on, like, the first show, something that celebrates the history of Universal, like, pictures. Like, I I'd like it to be, like, a ride, and not, like, a great movie ride. I want something that's, like, an adventure where, like, maybe we start out at the beginning of Universal Studios, because that, I mean, that studio has an immense history. And, like, we can move through other films, so, like, maybe we come out into a scene and, like, Marty and Doc are testing the time machine, and then we move out of that one into, like, a, you know, into, like, the Breakfast Club or in detention or something like that, and then you move out. And like, there's just a lot of films, like, and I'd love to see it as, like, being, like, you know, maybe there's a bad guy trying to destroy the film or whatever, and it, so it kind of educates you at the same time. I don't know.
I honestly, I never even thought about that, because I was thinking about stuff like Breakfast Club. It's a huge Universal movie, but how do you, unless you make it Breakfast Club, the stage show, how do you...
Oh, it's, no, you it's could totally the, have an attraction where they're like. Into... Because in the movie, I wrote that down, too.
Oh, well, because okay, well, in the list, it's all John Hughes movies. Universal has produced
almost all of his movies. Well, the problem with making the, like, the Breakfast Club... attraction is that if you mess with the bull, you're going to get the horns. So you don't want to do that.
Are
but
good, sir.
Even if it was moving off of the Breakfast Club, even if it was a great movie ride type slow ride, I agree with you. Yeah. I don't think it would fit with Universal, because Universal has become known for its pacing.
Yeah,
I think a little having that little extra added excitement to it would definitely fit the Universal brand. So if they, regardless of how it ended up, I think that's a brilliant idea.
Rhino, seriously, that's a really cool idea.
I just think it would be fun because really you could have like the little snippets of all the movie, and you could just be like looking for your favorite thing. And I mean, they own these properties, so they don't even have to really refilm too much. They just have to like take little pieces from here and there. And,
oh, yeah.
And it'd be cool too if they made it, like I said, the adventure, because it'd be out like, I don't know.
No, I would absolutely
come on, Universal.
Love to see that.
Hear me.
JL, what do we know Breakfast Club from you?
Well, see, but that fit in a whole land that I had planned.
A John Hughes land
or a Breakfast Club specifically? Vintage 80s Universal movies land. So, again, there's a reason why I'm not on Universal Creative, and it's probably because my IDs aren't the best. So you guys are going to have to help me out here. But I thought we could have a vintage 80s land with movies like Xanadu. What if they had like a roller skating rink? Somewhere you could go roller skating. That's cute. Or
Xanadu. Olivia Newton-John's performing. Or like,
what if they had a Firestarter attraction?
It's like baby Drew Barrymore in there. Like,
well, and fire start everywhere, you know, it works, I think. And then Breakfast Club, I don't know, maybe that could be somewhere you eat. Or the idea with Breakfast
that,
Club.
That 80s cafe from Back to the Future 2, where Michael Jackson serves you Coca-Cola.
Why is Rhino the only one on board with this
and
idea?
And Ronald Reagan.
I also had like Weird Science, The Money Pit. What if there was like a house tour through The Money Pit? I was trying to think of something.
You went to some darker movies here, too. Like,
we'll see what the
Back to the Future should definitely come back.
I agree. Well, I agree. I actually wrote in a note a little further down, too, where I would, along with like that ride I said, but I thought it would be great if they do something that celebrates all that stuff, like the retro. Right. I'd love to, you know, that's what Hollywood's all about, like mining old stuff for new stuff now. Like, why can't the theme parks do that, too?
I mean, I agree with a lot of the stuff you're saying, even if it's meet and greet opportunity. So
yeah,
you know, like, you want to go roller skating in a
absolutely
Xanadu
not.
Roller skating ring.
No, absolutely not. I am putting a nix on that right now, but creative ideas.
I was trying to think outside of the box, guys.
Well, you did it.
The other thing that I thought, and I don't know what we would do with this, but hello, the Bourne Identity series. That's a big series.
It could be a stunt show. Easily.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that could replace the Fear Factor or the Animal Actor. Yeah,
just show how they do some of those more really intense cool. sequences.
I didn't realize those were Universal.
Yes, they are. And the other one that I thought of, Nanny McPhee. It's like the Universal Mary Poppins. something. You could do something with that.
I'm not on board with the Nanny McPhee as
well. Well, maybe we could work it into the kids area.
Okay. That, why not?
Then go hang out with, meet and greet with Nanny McPhee.
Still sounds awful.
I don't want to see that tooth. I don't want a picture with that tooth tonight.
Dustin, do you have any ideas?
Take whatever it is that they're making that is clearly King Kong and decide to make it something about Jurassic World or Jurassic Park. A, give me a ride in the Jeep where the Tyrannosaurus Rex chases after you, or B, something new from the new Jurassic World movie.
Yeah.
Scrap King Kong. Jurassic Park, please.
Well, it's you make a great point here with the Jurassic Park thing, because that's a franchise that is, you know, what are we coming up on? 23, 22 years old?
Yeah. And 93, I think.
Yeah, and like, it's still like, I think Jurassic Park is one of the best movies like ever made, period. Like,
totally.
And I just think like it would be cool if they were proactive about this, because I know that new movie's supposed to be a trilogy. So I just think like it would be cool to like see some sort of like same day release here.
Jurassic Park's never going to go away in terms of relevancy, because Steven Spielberg did such a great job on blending practical effects with actual computer graphic effects of the time, which were so below what we have now. However, relying on those practical special effects, it made the movie, that's why it's still so believable.
And a lot of that credit goes to the pioneers, Stan Winston and Phil Tippett, who put together those incredible animatronics. But then you go into Dennis Muren's ILM digital realm, and I'm nerding out. I'm sorry. Go back.
You should, for anybody who's more interested in what he's talking about, get the Blu-ray set of Jurassic Park, and there's some wonderful special features all about what he's talking about. Cool. And I think the ride might be talked about in one of them.
If not, we'll also add that onto the list of other properties we're doing besides the soundtrack to the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition, the Broadway show, and now Dustin's book. We'll make it an audiobook about Jurassic Park. That sounds good to me. So let's move on to non-universal properties. I'm going to kick things off again because, well, once again, I'm in charge. My thing, completely scrap Shrek 4D. It's past its time. Take another DreamWorks movie, How to Train Your Dragon, which I think is absolutely the best DreamWorks has ever made in their animation department. And they still have two just came out on Blu-ray and was released this past year. And they still have the third one to come.
The Golden Globe, best picture for Golden Globe, right?
But do you think they'll be able to get Jay Baruchel?
I'm sure. He doesn't do anything else except for his new TV show on FXX, Man Seeking Woman. But we're not here to plug that. But right now, 20th Century Fox has distribution rights to how the DreamWorks animated department. Disney has their live action.
Right.
But Fox is losing those rights in 2018, meaning Universal, Comcast could easily pick that
right
up.
Right around the corner.
Get the distro rights to it, and then all of a sudden, they have all of DreamWorks under their toes. But I think How to Train Your Dragon is just the absolute best DreamWorks animated film. Why not put it in there? And then it's also Universal Orlando, at least, partners with Royal Caribbean doing land-to-sea packages, and they also already have DreamWorks characters on their ships. So it could just become this big family.
If you've ever seen the live-action Kung Fu Panda, it is terrifying.
Is it?
Because he has these gigantic arms and this giant round body. Yeah. I'm sorry, Kung that Fu was a sidetrack. But
That's also a good one. But that's what I would do for non-properties. So
okay.
I want to shoot it to JL.
Great.
Give it to JL.
I'm just kidding.
Mine is probably a little bit too big and not realistic. Oh. But Game of Thrones. Oh. Come on, people. It's like... full of lands and, you know, I mean, all kinds. Well, that was my second thing there. But Game of Thrones, it just comes ready for a whole immersive experience.
I was thinking of film franchises whenever I was trying to come up with mine, and it never even crossed my mind, Game of Thrones. However, that's
perfection.
Absolutely.
It's an amazing idea. And like you said, it's along the same lines as somebody would say, why don't they do a Lord of the Rings section of the park? Well, same question. Why not do a Game of Thrones? And I'm sure if they can get Harry Potter, from J.K. Rowling, they can get anything.
Oh, I mean, it just comes already made for a completely immersive experience. You've got different lands within an entire world and dragons and other kinds of crazy, you know, characters. Exactly.
I think it's one of those properties too that like even if you're not completely invested in it, like how you appreciate Harry Potter when you go, even though you didn't know Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I haven't seen Game of Thrones yet. I will watch it, but like, it would be one of those where I still would be like, oh, that's cool. There's a dragon. Oh, this is a land.
Maybe they could leave out the brothels and things like that, but you know.
Well, yeah, they're going to, but.
Get poisoned.
Right here, we have Lost Continent sitting there, wasting space.
Oh my gosh.
They could either expand Harry Potter further out, but they're running out of really creative ideas they can go with that. Get rid of Lost Continent and just turn it into Game of Thrones, and then at least it still maintains the literature format of
it's based on a book.
All of Islands of Adventure.
Speaking of literature, another idea I had was Lemony Snicket's series of Unfortunate Events.
I would love that.
Right?
I appreciate those as in they're like those dark. They're the same kind of like I'm surprised they were never picked up.
It's the same thing. It's for kids, but it's a little edgy. It would be a perfect fit for Universal.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're making a TV show on Netflix right now, so it's going to be relevant again. It's going to have a resurgence. So.
Cool. Well, what's your non-property?
I have two.
Okay.
The Power Rangers.
as I cover it up.
Sorry. Great. Okay. I just think I think they had something with Universal forever ago when it first started. I don't know. They did some meet and greet in Hollywood or something like that once. But
I know that Disney had a partnership with Power Rangers.
Well, Disney owned them for like the last 10 years or something.
And
like
they
were
in the parks.
And they were in the parks, yeah. And I thought that was cool. They just never did anything with it. And now the original guy, Saban, has the rights again, and he's partnered with Nickelodeon right now. And so there's like been four seasons or two different shows, two seasons each, and now there's a new one starting on next Saturday again. And I just feel like it would be great, even in the kids zone. I know we want the whatever the name of that studio was down there, but I think it would be great. Character meet and greets, that merchandise sells through the roof every year. It's like in the Guinness Book of World Records as the number highest selling kids merchandise.
Yeah,
of all
the
time.
Action figures.
And so I just, it'd be cool. I'd love to see some sort of Megazord oriented. You get Megazord. I don't know.
Dustin?
I'm piggybacking on his. You've actually inspired me. Another Paramount Viacom owned and Nickelodeon owned is Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Anything Ninja Turtles, I think, would be great in that same vein. It's kind of a in between. Kind of age, a tween, where it's, you know, it could be good for little kids, but it could also be good for nostalgic adults.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that fits right into that retro
theme. I'm not sure why mutant turtles that do ninja stuff has been such a big deal, but it is. And so it would survive and do well.
Yeah. No, that was all of the three guys in this room. That was our childhood for sure.
Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. There was a crossover one. So,
but what was your second one?
My second one was Doctor Who. I feel like there's no representation of it stateside. It's 50 years. I think it would lend itself to an amazing dark ride, similar to Forbidden Journey. You're on maybe you're in the TARDIS. You're going through characters galore.
Universal, one of their biggest demographics is British tourists. To put it in would just make sense.
You can even have it put where Fear Factor is. It can be a part of England.
Oh, that's true. It could cross over in the Harry Potter universe.
You just put a little very TARDIS and you have to go through the TARDIS to get to the land.
Dustin?
I just went. I said Ninja Turtles.
He said Ninja Turtles, yeah.
Sorry. My bad. So moving on, our ultimate Halloween Horror Night house.
Okay, can I go first, even though you're in charge?
I want you to go first, Dustin.
Okay, because first I got to put my lower third up. I'm Dustin West. My Halloween Horror Nights is my pick. It's two movies, and it's based more on less horror movies, but more realistic, gruesome, scary stuff. Mm-hmm. I would choose The Hunger Games.
Cool.
Okay.
That's cool.
And if that couldn't happen, B, Saving Private Ryan. Think about it.
Well, they have done war-inspired mazes in the past before, so I could absolutely see loosely theming it around those types. Hunger Games, I'm surprised none of us said that for the non-property.
Yeah.
Because those rumors did circulate around for a while, too. I thought I'd heard something
about that. But I'd actually like to see that as Halloween Horror Nights. Yeah. I mean, it's creepily gruesome, children killing other children.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a lot of just, you know, that loud noise jumping out a weapon right in your face, but that stuff's scary.
Yeah.
it always gets everyone. Rhino, we'll shoot it to you.
I was like, the more I thought about it, the more I came up with. We'd already talked about the rumor of the Alfred Hitchcock house, I think, a little bit. Like, I think that would be really cool. And it's on the same vein that you were saying. Like, I would like it because it's not It's not gory. It's like messes with your mind.
Yeah.
It would be cool if it was like black and white or something too, maybe. Oh, and cool. So like everything was black and white.
They had a house like that. Was it 2 years
it was
ago?
Classic
yeah, I think
monsters.
I'd heard
classic
about
monsters,
that. Yeah.
And it was cool. It was a very cool.
It was
effect.
My favorite.
And
that
if
year.
Anybody from Universal is actually listening, we're not. Please use these ideas.
Yeah. Don't you don't have to be like. Oh,
Mike Aiello is in charge of. Creating all the houses, and I pitched an idea to him once for True Detective last year.
Oh,
so
that would be cool.
They keep thinking about any possible thing.
I'd like to see Supernatural, the TV show. Yeah. I feel like it's been on for 10 years now, and it covers everything, and I feel like it'd be a very easy house to do. I said Hannibal, the TV show, would be like visually beautiful, yeah. But also a little gory on the gory side. But then I said Tremors. Hmm. Like to see a little Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Get a little Kevin Bacon there. In there.
80s Kevin Bacon. Yeah. Can't beat it.
American Horror Story, maybe? Sorry, I'm stealing them all.
Well, and Dolly Parton.
Was that
yours?
Was
that yours? That's the obvious, but it so needs to be done.
It's hot right now.
There are 4 seasons into it. Each has a different story. It could be divided into so many
ways. I'd rather they
ways.
Jump on that, get off of Walking Dead, and yeah. jump on American Horror
oh,
Story.
Oh, it's just, I mean... I don't know why it hasn't been done yet.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Haunted House season. You've got
Come
the
on.
Coven season. You've
this
got the Freak
right
Show
now, yeah.
season. And then you've got that Asylum one, which was really, ooh. I mean,
yeah.
ooh.
Gross.
I could see it happening this year because Walking Dead is not coming back.
Oh.
It's not coming back. They will not bring it back again. So
they just need to do American Horror Story. It's just...
I
begging.
Think it would be very popular.
It's just begging to be done.
I've never watched the show, but I would be interested in seeing the house just because I know the basic premise of each season. So
yeah.
We're going to wrap this up with mine, of course.
Sorry. I thought you went go.
I'm going to go.
I was going to say something after you said it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, mine is, like Dustin mentioned earlier, about a Jurassic Park / Jurassic World attraction. I would make a whole house out of it. So the past,
house
I think that's
cool.
amazing.
The dinosaurs eating everybody.
Oh, well, the past 2 years, Universal has done a puppet house. So they started off with an American Werewolf in London,
which was
my mm-hmm. favorite house of yeah. all time. And really then well last done. Year they did Alien versus Predator,
which was also done excellently.
It wasn't my favorite at first, but the puppeteers finally started to get in their groove, mm-hmm. and it got really scary towards the end there. Mm-hmm. Just think if they had Velociraptor puppets.
I was just thinking like if you're in the kitchen scene and they were coming at you, or something.
Or if
yeah.
you know you're looking for Sam Jackson and then his arm.
Yeah.
Oh no. There are so many possibilities having characters from the movie with their guns. So that way you get that element where all those houses always had someone with a gun making loud noises. But just instead of getting an attraction where you're so separated, you guys owe each other a Coke, I believe. Instead of building an attraction where you just see this stuff around you, think about being right in it. Oh, how absolutely
it would
terrifying,
be terrifying
it
yeah.
would be.
That movie convinced me dinosaurs are real. Like sometimes I get a little nervous when I and if dinosaurs are real, it'd be in
you
Florida.
Know what? And if they ever true. Do a cross Halloween Horror Nights again where they use Islands of Adventure
yeah.
as well as Universal Studios, I think that's the obvious choice of what they have to go to.
Yeah.
And of all the ones we said, I hope they're listening about that one.
Yeah. Jurassic Park
I
would
really
be
hope,
amazing.
Because they're going to keep up with the puppets. It just adds a different element to Horror Nights that you can't get with everything.
On that, I think I actually forgot one. Gremlins. It was because of your
yes.
puppet thing that I got me on that. And I was like, I'd love to see like, because I liked the Halloween house a lot, and
yeah.
I thought like another 80s, or, I mean, not Halloween's not 80s, but like an 80s movie, and
oh, yeah.
the puppets are great. I love the puppet houses. So like more of that stuff, you know, Ghoulies yep. or whatever.
I would love to see that as well as a lot of stuff. So the main important thing right now is for all the people who are watching and listening to us, actually let us know what you'd like to see too, whether it's on Disboards or if it's in the comments on YouTube or sending an email to podcast@disunplug.com. One of them, just write in so we can find out what you would like to. So it's just not us playing where Comcast and Universal created and we have all this money in the world. We actually care about you guys too.
Somebody already agreed with me about Gremlins.
I'll have to actually go through and read
it
those.
It was a good thought.
It's all good thoughts. So thank you guys so much for coming up with the list. I hope you had fun with
it. Was
it.
Good, yeah.
And I think that's actually going to do it for this episode of the This Unplugged Universal Edition. So we'll be back next week with our 101 overview of Islands of Adventure. But until then, bye.